This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers, my sisters in Islam. Welcome to this beautiful day of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the days are passing. The fast is getting easier, inshaAllah. And inshaAllah ta'ala, your hearts are getting more calmer and soothing. You know, when the shaitan flows in the body of insan, it creates harara, creates heat, creates emotions. And then alhamdulillah, after that, it takes a few days to heal. And after that, alhamdulillah, we start feeling like a newborn child. Because alhamdulillah, now finally we have our own thoughts without constantly having shubuhat and shahawat driven by the shaitan. And alhamdulillah, the fasting helps us to control our own emotions and our own body. And with that, alhamdulillah, we come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So glory be to Allah. Only Allah could have schemed and designed such an amazing ibadah of fasting that makes us better human beings and makes us inshallah ta'ala worthy of being the Khalifa on this earth. So alhamdulillah, we are now in Surah Zumar, verse number 19. And today we want to take the part of Surah Zumar that talks about taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's between verse number 19 to verse 35, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills these beautiful verses by talking about the one missing ingredient in the life of any human being that makes him a gentleman, that makes him a better human being, that makes him fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to his relationship with people and with regards to his use of resources around him, with regards to all the obligations that are due upon him and the rights that are due from him. So that is the taqwa of Allah azza wa jal. As Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah had said, he said, "Jima'ul الْخَيْرِ كُلَّهَا فِي تَقْوَى اللَّهِ." All of goodness can be summarized in the taqwa of Allah. Meaning, if a person has fear of Allah, taqwa of Allah, then all types of khair come to him. And he then exudes all types of khair, right? Because at the end of the day, when he's afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal, he knows he's accountable. That accountability, that integrity, that is what leads to the highest and the noblest of character, alhamdulillah. So let's take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah says, أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ, is not the one upon whom it has become obligated, the كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ, the word of punishment, meaning that the judgment has become obligated upon him, that he will be punished. أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ, are you able to save the one who is in the fire? Meaning, subhanAllah, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam number of things. Number one, ultimately it's Allah who decides, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, because here it's in the second, character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking. So in the second person. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, and we are now the third person listening on. Here Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, are you able to save the one who is definitely ordained for Jahannam? Meaning you're not able to save that person. Meaning what? Meaning the finality of who enters Jahannam is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the Prophet ﷺ cannot save who he wants, but it is Allah who saves who he wants, right? And the Prophet ﷺ is only a mubashir and a nadir. He's only a giver of glad tidings and only a warner. That's all his purpose is. He himself cannot save himself. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that saves our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ, should give us a warning that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you think you are, it matters what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So it's very, very critical. It's very critical that you constantly try to be in the good books of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that the qadr of Allah turns out to be that you are actually from the good books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destined for Jannah. In one authentic narration, it was reported that a great scholar of Islam, by the name of Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullah. He would stand up the depths of the night and he would grab his beard, and his beard had become old and white at that time. He'd grab his beard like this and said, Ya Rabbi, you have created a group for Jannah and you've created another group for Jahannam. Please, O Allah, tell me which group am I from? And that's why it was said that Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, another great scholar of Islam, he used to ask his students, Hal abkaka ilmullahi fik? Has the knowledge of Allah about you made you cry? And what is it? What do you mean by that, Ya Sufyan? Can you explain what you mean? Meaning the knowledge about Allah about you, that He has already ordained a group for Jannah, another group for Jahannam, and the uncertainty of which group you are from, and the lack of knowledge that we have about which group we are from, has that ever made us cry? So brothers and sisters, it is for this reason why it's very, very critical that we truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because despite all the good work that we can do on this dunya, we do not know whether Allah accepted it. So therefore, we don't know whether this has actually led to anything good. Our zakat, our fasting, or hajj. We don't know whether Allah has accepted them. So therefore, just the performance of our deeds should not ever give us the feeling of safety in our hearts. It is the fact that Allah has ordained certain groups to go to Jahannam and certain groups to go to Jannah. But perhaps some of you might be thinking that therefore, what is the use of good deeds if Allah has already done that? The use of good deeds is that first of all, we don't know which group we are from. Yeah. Secondly, if we actually stop doing the good deeds, then it will actually be that we were from the bad group. That's why we actually stop doing the good deeds. So at the end of the day, we don't know. And because we don't know, we do the good. And because we do the good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, He will choose who He will have mercy from. Remember, just because you do good doesn't mean you'll go to Jannah. And also a lot of people who do bad, Allah will still have mercy on them. So therefore, if we know that this to be the case, therefore at the end of the day, it is our priority that we do good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses who He desires to have mercy on and who He desires not to have mercy on, based upon what He already knows about us, subhanallah. طيب, أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ. Rather the ones who fear their Lord. لَهُمْ غُرَفٌ مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ. For them is a room above which there is another room. Meaning that the beautiful homes of Jannah are multi-layered. And they are not just one layer, one level. It is multi-layered. It's like going into the sky, skyscrapers, multi-layered. مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ مَبْنِيَّةٌ. Yani they have rooms above rooms that are fortified and strong. تَجْرِي مِّن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Underneath which rivers flow. And this is the beautiful castles and the palaces of Jannah have rooms above each other. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ. This is the promise of Allah. لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِعَادِ. Allah will never ever remove His promise. Allah will never overlook His promise. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Have you not seen, O people, that Allah has sent down from the heavens a water? فَسَلَكَهُ يَنَابِعُ. So then He caused the water to come through openings. يَنَابِعُ meaning openings. What does it mean by يَنَابِعُ? The word يَنَابِعُ means يَنْبُعُ, means it comes out. So therefore, it can be all types of openings through which water comes out. Wells, springs, waterfalls, rivers, tributaries, oceans, wherever water comes out. Yeah. So all of these are yanabi'. So Allah says, have you not seen how Allah sent down the water from the heavens? Then He causes it to come out through all these openings, meaning shows that therefore there is actually some sort of underlying stream under all of this earth. There actually is a tablet of water. This is one of the miracles of this verse. فَسَلَكَهُ يَنَابِعُ فِي الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُ بِهِ زَرْعًا مُخْتَلِفًا. Then because of this water, from this water He brings out lots of different types of crops. مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُ. Yani different types of crops with different colors. Some of them, you know, yellow, some of them green. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ. Then it dries up. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. Then it becomes dried like hay, which is yellowish, dry color. ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ فُطَامًا. Then He makes them into dried out hay that becomes totally desolate and destroyed. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily in that is a sign for those who have intelligence. What does Allah Azza wa Jal want to tell us through this parable? Number one, that this world is fleeting. Yeah, that this world is very fleeting. Number two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gave life to the world through the water. Then the life became apparent in this dunya. Then Allah gives it death again. So therefore, the same way you were dead, then Allah gave life to you from water, and you became alive, and you lived a hefty life. And then after that, you will die, you will become usfarra, you will become old and gray and old-haired, and you will also have a death from which Allah Azza wa Jalla will then take you to account. So this is the sign that Allah is saying. The third thing Allah is saying is that because the earth is so fleeting, do not put all your eggs in that basket. Meaning don't prepare your time and your life just for that. You know, Muhammad Ali used to say, don't count your days, count how you use them. Yeah, don't count the days. Tell me whether the days count or not, meaning whether you have actually done something in those days or not, subhanAllah. And that's why it's very critical, brothers and sisters, that we do not treat this dunya as a permanent abode, and that we take a lesson from the fleetingness of this dunya, that our life will soon come to an end, and that we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ If not the one who Allah has opened up his chest for Islam. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ So he's upon a light from his Lord. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُم مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ So woe to the ones, فَوَيْلٌ meaning woe to the ones, قَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُم Their hearts are hardened. مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ from the remembrance of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ They are the ones who are misguided. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the dichotomy of two people. The first one who Allah has opened up his chest with the light and the nur of Islam, so he remembers Allah and he practices it. The other one whose heart is so hardened, has become hard and constricted, and nothing enters into it, no guidance enters into it, and therefore he does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse is an evidence that if Allah has given you Islam and Hidayah, then your heart is full of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah had said in that amazing narration from him, the need of people for water is more than the need for food. And the need for air is more than the need for water. And the need for iman, for the hearts, is more than the need for water, or need for air, and need for food. Because ultimately we can survive a few days without food, and a few days without water, and we can also survive a few minutes without air even, but we cannot survive a single instant without iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says in his Hadi al-Arwa'i la Bilad al-Afrah, in his book, he says the importance of having iman is that every single second of our life, every single thaniya in our life, we need to have iman and need to have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other. And that's why the life of a believer is all ibadah. You know, you might be eating, drinking, you might be working and sleeping, you might be studying, but all of it should be ibadah to Allah, because you should be doing it out of thanks to Allah or having sabr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr. So, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ So woe to those whose hearts are very hard from the remembrance of Allah. And that's why, ikhwati, remembrance of Allah is so important. And I remember being with many of the ulama of Islam and sitting in their presence. And one thing that really sticks out from them to me is how much they do dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, how much they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're constantly remembering Allah. And some of them might use tasbih because they make it permissible. Others might use their hands. But subhanAllah, on their tongues. I asked one of them, Ya Shaykh, how many times do you say tawbah, istighfar? And he wouldn't. But I forced it out of him. And he was a da'i, well-known da'i. And so he told me, I make tawbah about 30,000 times a day. 30,000 times a day, tawbah. Ya Khuti, this is why many of them are so well-known. Allah increases their qabool on this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their dunya easy. And the world comes to them humbled and submissive. And all of this because of their excessive and the huge amount of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, in the authentic hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who remember Allah a lot have gone away with all good. Yeah, those who remember Allah a lot, they are the ones who are the sabiqun. They are the ones who have gone away with all good. And remember, if you remember Allah, Allah remembers you. So if you're remembering Allah constantly, then remember Allah is remembering you, and that is a very beautiful thing to have. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They are in manifest error. اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Allah is the one who has revealed the best of speech, which is this book. And therefore, we know that the Qur'an is a hadith of Allah, is a speech of Allah. Therefore, if Allah is eternal, then all the attributes that come from Allah are eternal. And therefore, the Qur'an is eternal. اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Allah has revealed the best of books. كِتَابًا in a book, which is kitab, kitab is called kitab because it has chapters and it is compiled together. Kitab mutashabihan, it is similar, meaning some parts of the book is similar to other parts of the book. So Allah Azza wa Jal did not put all similar parts in one area, rather He spread them out across each other. Kitab mutashabihan mathani, mathani meaning the examples are similar. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودِ meaning their skin trembles and squeezes up and wrinkles up. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودِ so the skin wrinkles up. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. So when they read the Qur'an, this kitab that is mutashabih and that has the mutashabih al-mathani, their skin wrinkles up, those who يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, those who fear their Lord. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُنُودُهُمْ, then the skin comes down and stretches back. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُنُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ, and their hearts at the same time, إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, to the remembrance of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ, that is the guidance of Allah. يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that He guides whoever He wills. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ, and whoever He misguides. هُمَا يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ, whoever Allah misguides. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ, then there is no one to guide him. What is Allah talking about here? First of all, Allah talks about the Qur'an and how it is the best of speech. And how it is best of speech because it contains everything that we need. Every dhikr, every ayah contains numerous lessons. And it doesn't matter what period of life you are in. You could be an old man or a young boy. You could be in the advanced stage of your life in maturity, or you could be early in your maturity. You could be someone who understands Arabic less, someone who understands Arabic more. You could be someone who is a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman or a father. Whatever stage you are in your life, whatever profession you have, there is a part of the Qur'an that is for you. There is a lesson in the Qur'an somewhere or the other that pertains to you, or human being in any stage or any profession in your life. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing about this speech. أحسن الحديث. Then it is متشابه المثاني. Then it has similar parables, all spread out in the Qur'an. So the story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is spread out through the Qur'an. Story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spread out throughout the Qur'an. Story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is spread out throughout the Qur'an. And the examples that Allah uses of, for example, how Allah sends water down and then brings out life through it and then gives life, death back to this earth again. All of this is a parable that is there and spread out across different surahs of the Qur'an, not in only one part. So all of this is a parable. Then Allah says about how when this Qur'an is recited, those who fear Allah, the skin wrinkles up from fear of Allah, and the hair on the back of their necks rises up from the fear of Allah, right? Then, when they have hope of Allah, when they have hope and they remember the verses of Jannah and mercy, then their skin comes down and their hearts come down and they calm down with the remembrance of Allah. So here Allah is talking about how a believer, when they read the Qur'an, they have two emotions. The first emotion is fear of Allah. The second emotion is hope from Allah. And that is how we should approach this beautiful Qur'an, brothers and sisters. Read the Qur'an, we must be in awe of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then as soon as we read more and more and more, we read verses of Jannah, we read verses of mercy, then we should fill our hearts with mercy. This is the beautiful thing about a believer. A believer is between the two emotions of love, of fear and hope. Fear and hope. And that which makes him do his ibadat is love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the feet out of the love of Allah, they pray out of the love of Allah, they fast out of the love of Allah. But they behave out of the fear and hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. أَفَمَنْ يَتَّقِي بِوَجْهِ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ is not the one who fears, who fends off. يَتَّقِي over here means fending off. أَفَمَنْ يَتَّقِي بِوَجْهِهِ The one who fends up with his face. سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ The evil of the punishment on the day of judgment. فَوَيْلٌ لِلظَّالِمِينَ So woe to the wrongdoers. ذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ وَقِيلَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ And it will be said to the wrongdoers, ذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ Taste that which you used to do. So here this verse is talking about how our hands will be tied to our necks. So on the day of judgment, the zalimeen, and you know normally in this dunya, when something is coming rushing at you, you hide your face through your hands, right? You put your hands and then you try and fend off and you defend yourself with your hands. But on the day of judgment, because the hands will be tied up to the necks, they will not be able to fend off the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what the disbelievers will try to do is to fend off the punishment of Allah with their faces. And can you imagine? And the most sacred part of the body that you try to defend is the one that you're using to fend off the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shows therefore, this is the sorry state of the zalimeen. This is the terrible state of the zalimeen. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal tells us this, so that we may grow in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ They were truly liars, those who were before them. فَأَتَاهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعَرُونَ So the punishment came to them where they never ever thought possible. So because of the lies of the people before them, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches them from where they never thought possible. And this is the example of those people, and this is the punishment of those people who have the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what they have done, that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches them from where they never thought possible and where they never expected it to happen. And this is the, ignorance of human beings, that when they are in blessings, they forget about the punishment of Allah. And that is why blessings should only make us remember the fear of Allah, not the hope from Allah, because that is the wrong time to have hope. It is the time to have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fear of Allah should come from the fact that you never know where the punishment of Allah lies. You don't know which person that you've been good to will backstab you. You don't know where that you have been deficient in your ibadah. That's why, you know, one of our scholars, may Allah have mercy upon him, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, used to say that when you have the evil eye that comes to you or black magic that is done to you, this is not a sign that you are more handsome or more pious or that you are more richer. That's why people are giving you the evil eye. Rather, this is a sign of the lack of your dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a sign of your lack of dhikr of Allah, the fact that punishment comes to you from where you never thought possible. Because we should constantly be covering ourselves and protecting ourselves with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَذَاقَهُمُ اللَّهُ الْخِزْيُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا So Allah made them taste the khizyu fil hayati dunya, the punishment in the life of this dunya. Wala adabul akhirati akbar, and indeed the punishment of this of the akhirah is worse. Law kanu ya'lamun, if only Allah knew. So because of their disobedience, Allah made them taste their disgrace in this dunya, but know that their punishment in the akhirah is worse. And that is why, brothers and sisters, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely taste torment in this life. And you know, we sometimes think, where is the torment? Allah is giving them more riches and health and wealth. Where is the torment? The reality is you don't know how those money and that wealth is making them tormented. How the wealth is making them afraid, how they're going to spend it. How because of the wealth, the children are becoming bad. Because of their wealth, the people and the friends that make friendship with them is only because of their wealth. How because of their wealth, their family keeps asking for more back home. And as a result, all they do is try and backstab. Because of their wealth, they are more afraid, so they have to be more protective. And they have to be more conscious of losing their wealth. Because of their wealth, they don't have trustworthy people coming to them. The people that come to them are those that have ulterior motives. Because of their wealth, the enemies are increased. The poor don't like them. The rich are jealous of them. So, subhanAllah, yani, you see, never ever think, therefore, that the people who have wealth actually have a great life. They actually might have a very terrible life. SubhanAllah, sometimes very lonely life. because they can't tell anyone, because at the end of the day they have this facade. They wear this facade above them that tells them that, you know what, you know, don't come near me. SubhanAllah. طيب. فأذاقهم الله الخزي في الحياة الدنيا. So for them is disgrace in this dunya. والعذاب الآخرة أكبر. And the life of the hereafter will have a more severe punishment for them. لو كانوا يعلمون, if only they knew. وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَرٍ. Verily we have given to mankind in this Qur'an from every single example. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. So that perhaps they may ponder. So that they may ponder. And all of this is an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to believers so that they may ponder. So when they read the Qur'an, they should think about the mathal and the examples so that they ponder on the lessons that are there. قرآن عربية. This is a Arabic Quran. غير ذي عوج. It does not have any false عوج. عوج is basically a when you have a path and you have a bend and a turn. So غير ذي عوج, and it does not have any wrong turns or any mistakes. Or any hard, inappropriate speech in it. غَيْرَ ذِي عِوَجٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So that they may have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that Allah calls this Qur'an in Arabiya, He calls it an Arabic Qur'an, is an indication that it is to be understood. Because had it been in any other language, then it's impossible for Arabs to understand. So the fact that it's Arabic Qur'an, it shows that we must ponder on its meanings and we must learn its tafsir. That's number one. Number two, the fact it's Arabic is an indication that all of the verses must have a meaning. Yeah? So you can't therefore say that, no, I don't know what this means. And there's some verses definitely that are mutashabih. Yeah? Alif, lam, mim, we don't know what it means. Allah only knows what it means. But others, then you cannot claim that. You know, say, oh, وَالْمُتَلَّقَةُ يَتَرَبَّسَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوا. And the divorced women stay up with themselves 3 قُرُوا. We don't know what قُرُوا means. We must investigate what the word قُرُوا means, because it's an Arabic term. So we must look at how other parts of the Quran explained it, how the prophets have explained it, or how the Sahaba explained it, that were there at the time of the revelation of the Quran. So Quran in Arabian also has another meaning, and that is that because it is in Arabic, it's easy to memorize. It's easy to memorize. Therefore, we should be focusing on memorizing the Quran as well. So therefore, the 3 important meanings of the Quran being in Arabic is that we should ponder on it, we should memorize it, and that we should also learn the meanings of each and every word, that is possible to know what the meaning is. طيب, قرآن عربية غير ذي عوج. And if there is no distortions in it, لعلهم يتقون, so that they may have taqwa of Allah, meaning therefore reading the Quran should increase us in taqwa. ضرب الله مثلا الرجل. Now Allah gives the example of tawheed, yeah, and He says, take the example of a man, فيه شركاء متشاكسون, and that man belongs to many human beings, meaning here's a man who is a servant or a slave, but that slave belongs to multiple masters. وَرَجُلًا, and take another man, سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ, he is only owned by only one human being, only one person, right? هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا, are they the same? Meaning, can they ever be the same, the one who submits himself to one God compared to the one who submits to multiple gods? They can't be the same. In the same way as a slave or a servant who has multiple masters, multiple reports, compared to only one that he has to report to. And subhanAllah, you know, if you think about it in life, it's extremely difficult. Yani, you know, if you're in a job, for example, and you don't have one line manager, you have multiple line managers, you're always confused because each line manager is expecting something from you. You don't know who to please. And then whilst you're pleasing one, the other one gets angry. And at the end of the day, they are contradictory sometimes. So always, you know, when you have multiple lines of reporting, this becomes a risk, right? That's why you go to your job and say, no, I don't want multiple lines of reporting. I only want one person to be responsible too, right? And that's why, at work, we always want one person. And then if this is the case at life, if this is the case in pure life, why is it, subhanAllah? Why is it that we don't want that in ibadah? Isn't it better to be responsible to one God than to multiple desires, multiple gods? What Ram wants is not what Bhagavan wants. What Bhagavan wants is not what Krishna wants. What Krishna wants is not what Vishnu wants. And therefore, if you submit yourself to multiple gods, your heart and your mind is confused and you're not able to worship Allah, nor are you able to build taqwa and fear of Allah or contentment from your deen. And that's why Allah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوُونَ? Are they the same? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Yeah, but أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most of them do not understand. So praise be to Allah, who is the only deity worthy of worship and only true God in existence, and أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and most of the people do not know, and that is why they commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they should know that if they submitted to Allah, they would have an easy life, one clear direction, one clear instructions, and an easy way to Jannah, inshallah. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُونَ, verily you will die, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an indication that if the Prophet will die, then what about us, subhanAllah? So Allah here has told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in verse number 30 of Surah Az-Zumar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will surely die. Therefore, what about people saying, but the Shaykh, I thought the Prophet is alive in his grave. Well, he is not alive in the context of our dunya. Yeah, he is alive in the context of the akhirah. He is alive in the context of the akhirah. Because a lot of the people in the graves are asleep, whereas the Prophet is actually alive in his grave in the context of the akhirah, in a different life. Meaning, even if the grave were to break open now, we were to see the Prophet, we would see that he is dead from us. Because the Prophet did die. Aisha saw the Prophet's hand falling down and then the soul leaving the Prophet. The Sahaba did, Abu Bakr did come into the Hijr and kiss the Prophet on the forehead and said, you are as beautiful in your death as you are in your life. And Umar did know the Prophet died, and the Sahaba did cry when the Prophet passed away. So we must know, Ya Ikhwani, that the Prophet will die. And that he has passed away. Do not make it up that no, he is here, and that we do the milad, and that the Prophet ﷺ attends. All of this is false. This is not the case. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ will die should create a number of fears in our hearts. Number one, that if the Prophet will die, then so will we. Number two, if the Prophet can die, then what is stopping us from also being taken into account? If Allah decides when the Prophet will die, then it is not our relationship with the Prophet that matters as much as our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, that we will be taken to account. That even the Prophet will have to answer, and therefore we will also have to answer. The Prophet will have to answer, what about us? And if the Prophet has a limited life, how can we think that we will live forever? How can we therefore delay our tawbah? How can we delay our ibadah? How can we delay our sadaqah? How can we delay our acts of worship? We should not do so. طيب ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. Then you will all be in front of Allah, arguing for your rights in front of Allah. Meaning, oh Allah, this person hurt me, this person did that, oh Allah, this, oh Allah, that. And you will be arguing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So this verse fills the heart of a believer with tremendous fear, because it shows how subhanallah Allah Azza wa Jal would definitely take us to account for all of this. طيب, let's carry on. We've got a few more verses to go, inshallah, before we finish. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ. So who is worse, أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, than the one who lies upon Allah, وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ, and he lies about the truth, إِذْ جَاءَ, when it comes to him. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ, is not in Jahannam a place for the disbelievers? Meaning, who is there worse than the one who can lie about Allah? And disbelief is essentially lying about Allah. Also, speaking without knowledge is lying about Allah. And that is why speaking without knowledge is tantamount to disbelief. And that is why we should withhold about speaking that which we do not know. وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ. So he lies about Allah, then he lies about the Qur'an, which is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the ultimate truth. And that's why Allah says, is there not in Jahannam mathwa lil kafirin, a place or a dwelling? Mathwa is like an abode for the kafirin, for those who are disbelievers. So this verse shows the anger of Allah for those who lie about him. Yeah, Is there not a place in Jahannam for those who disbelieve? Meaning, most surely, of a surety, there is a place in Jahannam for those who disbelieve. So be very wary of this. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ. As for those who come with the truth, meaning speaking the truth, وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ, and attest to the truthfulness of this Qur'an, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the righteous ones. This verse is so important, wallahi. So important. This verse is in verse number 23 of, verse number 33 of Surah Zumar. This verse shows the attachment of Siddq with Taqwa, and how the Muttaqoon are Sadiqoon, how the Sadiqoon are Muttaqoon, and how Siddq and Taqwa come are like two twins of faith. And you cannot have one without the other. You can't have Taqwa without Siddq. You can't lie and think that you have Taqwa. And you can't do sins and expect that you are speaking the truth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and with His Qur'an. You can't. They both come together. And that is why it is very critical for us to teach our children and ourselves to speak the truth all the time. And if you think about Juraj, and Juraj was a Sahabi, who the Prophet told us, he was a very simple person. He was praying. His mom called him, said, "Ya Juraj, where are you?" So he said to himself, "Ya Allah, should I answer my mom or should I continue praying?" In that questioning, mom called again, "Ya Juraj, where are you?" So he continued in praying, thinking the same thing. Should I answer my mom or should I continue praying? So mom calls a third time, "Ya Juraj, where are you?" And so the man continues praying. This hadith is authentic in Bukhari, and it's from the narrations of a man called Juraj that lived in the time of the Israeliyat. So Allah's Messenger said that after the third time, mom gets angry, curses Juraj, saying that you will not go away from this dunya until, may Allah not take you away from this dunya, until Allah disgraces you. So then Juraj, in the very next day, a prostitute in the city takes up her child and says, "Oh people, this is Juraj's child." So the dua of the mother came true. So he was disgraced. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Juraj, despite his ignorance of not knowing whether he should answer his mom or continue praying. So he was ignorant. Number two, the curse of the mother. Number three, the disgrace of the prostitute, claiming that Juraj slept with her and had a child with her. All of this, yet Allah gave a miracle. And that miracle was the child spoke up and said, "No, oh people, my mother is lying. This Juraj is not my father. My father is so and so." So therefore Allah exonerated Juraj. The scholars of Islam said, why did Allah exonerate Juraj? Because Juraj was truthful with Allah. He was truthful with Allah. He was truthful. I mean, if he was in his ignorance, he was truthful. In his innocence, he was truthful. In his simplicity, he was truthful. So be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't hide, don't cheat, don't lie. Don't ask people to praise you for who you're not. Don't expect to be praised and get what you don't deserve. Speak the truth about who you really are, and let people know your true colors. That I'm not that great human being that you think I am. I'm a very simple guy, and I am not as great as you think I am. I am simpler than that, and I'm much more incompetent than what you think I am. I'm much more lower than what you think I am. Without, of course, disrespecting yourself, but truly put yourself down. And that's why some of the Salaf used to say that if my friends knew about me what I know about myself, then they would throw mud on my face instead of praise on my face. So subhanAllah, speak the truth about yourself. So speaking the truth will lead to taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is why when you ponder on the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I worked for the Prophet for 9 years, and never once did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever tell me, "Ya Anas, why did you do this or why didn't you do that?" So the scholars of Islam explaining this hadith said that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ did not tell Anas why or why didn't you, because Anas was a young boy, a little baby, a little infant. He was a little boy, like 3 years old, 4 years old, as a servant of the Prophet ﷺ. And at that age, if you question children, then the first emotion they have is fear. And because of the fear, they will say something. So Ibrahim, did you eat the cake? And Ibrahim will say, "No, dad, mom ate it." Whereas mom is the one who actually baked the cake, not ate the cake. So he'll make up a story just because he's afraid of your anger. So as a result, the Prophet never even used to pressure them into that situation. Of course, as they grow up and as they become bigger, then you can question them and ask them at that stage, because they should have then less fear and more self-composure. But when they're young, because of their fear, they will fall into lying. And that is why this is an invaluable lesson in tarbiyah of how to raise children upon speaking the truth, is that at a very young age, 3, 4, 5, 6, never question them. Did you do it? Didn't you do it? Because you don't want them to lie. And because the khuluq of lying and of speaking the truth is far important than knowing whether he's someone who's accountable to what he has done or not. Accountability will come later when he is 7 years old. Then when he will know right and wrong, that's the time to keep him accountable. Before that, it's not about accountability. It's about making sure he speaks the truth always, never lies. Subhanallah. طيب وَالَّذِينَ جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ, those who come with the truth. وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ, and attest to the truthfulness of this Qur'an. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, they are the righteous ones. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, for them is whatever they wish from their Lord. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that is the reward of the good doers. That is the reward of the good doers. And so Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that if you have taqwa of Allah, because you stayed away from many things in this world, in the day of judgment or in Jannah, you'll have whatever you want. In this dunya, you're not doing what you want. You want to do haram. Your heart tends towards the haram, but you don't do it. So that is taqwa. But in the akhirah, whatever your heart's desire, Allah will allow you to do. لَهُمَّ يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, for them is whatever their heart's desire with their Lord. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that is the reward of the good doers. لِيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that Allah may remove the worst of their evil deeds. وَيَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and so that Allah may give them the reward with the best of what they used to do. So the worst of deeds Allah will remove, the rest of the deeds are simple, they will be removed just with regular salah and regular ibadah. And then so that Allah may reward them, not with the least of what they used to do, but the best of what they used to do. So that Allah gives them the best of ajr because of the best of their deeds, you know. And that is why when you give sadaqah, give the best of your wealth for sadaqah. And when you give time to Allah, give the best of your time to Allah. Don't give the extra time only, the 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. time to Allah. Give the best of your time to Allah, not the worst of your time. Give the best of your wealth to Allah, not the worst of your wealth. Give the best of your youth to Allah, not when you're old and frail and you've got nothing left. You know, that's why, ikhwani, we've got to make our life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. This is Surah Zumar. I am really genuinely enjoying every verse, because every verse is speaking to me in my heart and is fixing my character and improving my soul. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us through this reflections on the tafsir of the Qur'an, and to make us of those people who hear the best of the speech and who are truthful to it and act upon it. Inshallah, until tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.